Yes, Tian, Premier Su said tiredly. Proceed. Comrades, at our last meeting I warned you of a potential problem. That problem is with us now, and it is growing larger. Are we running out of money, Tian? Zhang Hansan asked with a barely concealed smirk. The answer amused him even more. Yes, Zhang, we are. How can a nation run out of money? The same way a factory worker can, by spending more than he has. Another way is to offend his boss and lose his job. We have done both. What boss do we have? Comrades, that is what we call trade. We sell our goods to others in return for money. Our trade with America has generated an annual surplus on the order of $70 billion. Generous of the foreign devils, Premier Su observed. Which we have almost entirely spent for the People's Liberation Army. We now face the loss of most of that trade surplus with America and other foreign countries as well. You see these? He held up a fistful of telexes and email printouts. These are cancellations of business orders. These are billions of lost dollars, money which in some cases we have already spent, but money we will never have because we have angered those with whom we do business. Do you tell me that they have such power over us? Rubbish, another member observed. Comrade, they have the power to buy our trade goods for cash or not buy them. If they choose not to buy them, we do not get the money we need. So, sell our trade goods to someone else, a member asked. Who else might there be, comrade? There is only one America. We have also offended all of Europe. What are you saying? Zhang shot back. I am saying that the People's Republic faces economic ruin because two of our policemen killed those two meddling churchmen. That is not possible! It is not possible, Zhang. They call us barbarians because of that unhappy incident at the hospital. It is we who will pay for the error. I refuse to believe this, Zhang insisted. That is fine. You may come to my ministry and add up the numbers yourself. Comrade Zhang, Fang said, coming carefully to Tian's defense. Yes, we are the Middle Kingdom, and no, we are not the barbarians. They are. But sometimes one must do business with barbarians, and that might mean understanding their point of view and adapting to it somewhat. Humble ourselves before them? Yes, Zhang. We need what they have, and to get it, we must be acceptable to them. And when they next demand that we make political changes, then what? This was the Premier, Su. We face such decisions when and if they come, Tian answered. We cannot risk that, the Interior Minister, Tong Ji. If the foreigners insist upon internal political changes, it could bring us all down. And that was the core issue, Fang saw at once. The People's Republic rested absolutely upon the power of the party and its leaders. They ruled the workers and peasants, and because of that, they also feared them. Fang had never before considered all of these thoughts in toto. Like the others, he'd worried a lot when the college students had demonstrated. He and his colleagues had immense power over every citizen in their country, but that power was all an illusion. And no, they couldn't allow another country to dictate political practices to them, because their lives all depended on that illusion. Fang also saw that there was no way out. If they didn't change to make America happy, then their country would run out of wheat and oil, and they would risk massive social change in a groundswell from below. But if to prevent that they allowed some internal changes, they would just be inviting the same thing on themselves. Which would kill them the more surely? Did it matter? Either way, they'd be just as dead. So, Tian, you say we risk running out of things because we can no longer get the money we need to purchase them, Premier Su asked. That is correct. In what other ways could we get money and oil? That is not within my purview, Chairman. There is ample oil to our north. There is also gold and many other things we need, timber in vast quantities, and that which we need most of all, living space for our people. The Northern Resource Area, our Japanese friends once called it, Zhang reminded them all. That adventure ended in disaster, Fang observed. But we were not implicated. We can be sure of that, can we not, Luo? Zhang asked. This is so. The Russians have never strengthened their southern defenses. They even ignore our exercises that have raised our forces to a high state of readiness. Can we be sure of that? Oh, yes, the defense minister told them. Tan? Tan Daxi was the chief of the Ministry of State Security. One of the younger men here, at 70, he was a non-smoker. We have over 1 million of our citizens living in eastern Siberia. It's illegal, but the Russians do not make much issue of it. We have good intelligence of the Russian defenses. And what is their state of readiness? Tong Ji asked. Quite poor. Their new Far East commander, a General Colonel Bondarenko, despairs of making things better. Wait, Fang objected. Are we discussing the possibility of war with Russia here? Yes, Zhang replied. We have done this before. That is true, but on the first such occasion we would have had Japan as an ally and America neutralized. On the second, we assumed that Russia would have been broken up beforehand along religious lines. Who are our allies in this case? How has Russia been crippled? We've been a little unlucky, Tan answered. The chief advisor to their president Grushevoy is still alive. Our attempt to kill him misfired. Tan explained on for 2 minutes. The reaction around the table was one of mild shock. Tan had my approval, Xu told them. Fang looked over at Zhang Hansan. That's where the idea must have originated. His old friend might have hated capitalists, but that didn't stop him from acting like the worst pirate when it suited his goals. And he had Su's ear, and Tan as his strong right arm. Fang thought he knew all of these men, but now he saw that his assumption had been an error. That is an act of war. Our operational security was excellent. Our Russian agent, one Klementy Suvorov, is a former KGB officer. He likes money, and for enough of it, he will do anything. And now? Fang asked. That is for the Politburo to decide. Luo? Xu asked. Is this feasible? Comrades, when Russia was the Soviet Union, this operation was not possible. Their military was much larger, and they had numerous intercontinental missiles tipped with thermonuclear warheads. Now they have none, thanks to their bilateral agreement with America. Their air force is a joke. They sell us their best aircraft and deny them to their own flyers. To make our task easier, we would do well to disrupt their command and control. Comrades, Fang had to say. What we discuss here is fraught with danger. What if we fail? Then, my friend, we are no worse off than we appear to be already, Zhang replied. But if we succeed, the People's Republic will become the foremost power in all the world. As is our right, he didn't have to add.